Welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby podcast. We're absolutely delighted to have one of the stars of Scottish Rugby and World Rugby at the moment join us, Rich, this afternoon. We've got Darcy Graham, who the flying winger, who joins us. We're delighted to have Darcy on board. He's out at Orium at the National Training Centre, so we'll say hello to Darcy and ask you how you're getting on.
I'm very well. Been quite a busy few days in Orium in Scotland training, so we've just kind of had a rugby session, then just done units in gym just now. So it's been quite a full-on few days, getting loads of information thrown at us, so it's been quite good.
And how important, I was saying, talking to Rachel before about the quality of the sessions and how difficult it is to make the step up to international level when you've been club level and when you've got so many calls and so much information coming at you. But last week's training is really important for that as well. You had 2 or 3 days in last week in camp, and that gets really important because it gets it all into the system. And then this week it's just about preparing and bringing it all out on Friday evening.
Definitely. First few days saying it, there's just so much information thrown at you. New defence stuff, new attack stuff, lineouts, scrums. There's just so much to take on board. So the first few days is just digest that and take as much on as possible. So then going into the game week, it's a lot smoother. So yeah, that's kind of the hard part, especially for club-wise. You've got the whole pre-season to learn your calls and defence stuff. So trying to learn it within a week, it's pretty tough.
And I guess as well, camp is a little bit different than usual. I'd assume is it kind of a little less sociable, I guess, in terms of all your protocols and all that. So getting used to that as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's been pretty weird. Masks everywhere. You have to wear them in the hotel pretty much 24/7. So it is very strange. There's only 4 people eating at a table when you normally get 10, 12 of us from that one table and that. So it is pretty strange.
And are you still sharing rooms, or are you in a room on your own?
We are room on our own as well. So we pretty much got the whole hotel to ourselves.
Right.
Everybody's got their own room, and it's weird not having a roommate. You always get paranoid. You get paranoid of missing training and that. So
late for meetings.
Sleep in, long life.
How many alarms do you set?
I'm two just.
Just two. And have you got team rooms? Because Rachel, you didn't have a team room in your camps, do you?
We haven't had one in the previous 3 camps, but I think, fingers crossed, we might have one with restrictions this camp.
We still got one, but there's only like 10 us allowed in at a time.
Yeah.
So have to all the social same with distance. Us. The usual 2 meters apart and constantly wash your hands.
It is kind of strange. I guess we haven't had a game build up until we come into camp tomorrow, but how does it feel in terms of, is it still building the same excitement towards a game, not having so much time, you know, in your downtime, usually you're kind of bouncing off each other and stuff, but is it still kind of that game excitement in terms of the build up to a game?
Definitely. It's still like, it's still an international game, still a chance to go on the thistle and play for your country. So there is still that excitement.
Yeah.
Obviously, it can be weird with no fans. So we're going to have to bring that excitement from ourselves and as a team. So it's going to be a bit different.
Is that something you've discussed in terms of how you approach the game? Obviously, not having fans and being used to packed out stadiums. Have you had those discussions about actually how you're going to approach it and still get, you know, as good a performance as ever?
Not yet. I think Gregor's got a few slides and that for tomorrow. He's going to go over that, kind of how we can bring our own energy and that. So that's still to come a bit closer to game day. So it'll be quite interesting to see what he comes up with and what ideas he's got.
You mentioned as well, Das, I mean, it's always excitement. There's always a buzz around camp, especially for, well, not especially, but more so sometimes for the first game of a new series. But this for you is really important as well, because we're chatting before and sparkling form for Edinburgh, you know, throughout kind of before lockdown and since the return. But you've not pulled on the thistle since the last game of the World Cup against Japan due to injuries through the Six Nations. A really frustrating time for you during the Six Nations. So is that, well, there will be that extra bite as well here, because it's over a year since you've played for Scotland.
Yeah, I didn't actually realise it has been over a year since I last played for Scotland. So, it's kind of gave me a wee bit of goosebumps now. And it's a dream come true every time you pull on that Scotland jersey. So it's very exciting. And kind of that Six Nations just passed, it was very frustrating for myself. I got an egg on the first session, first day in camp, and got myself back fit. back in the mix for the Italy game. Then I ended up re-injuring myself again. So it was very frustrating that wee period of time. Kind of selfishly locked down, came at a good time for myself. I ended up only missing four games, which was the international game. So I never missed a huge amount of rugby. And then I gave myself a bit of time to get back fully fit. And I never had to kind of rush back. And so, yeah, kind of selfishly, it came at a good time for me. And raring to go now and looking forward to it.
And Mon, that's good. So we're raring to see you go, to be honest. And we're saying, you said before about the new calls and information. I suppose since that World Cup, since you last played, there are new coaches, there are new systems, and you mentioned defence and attack and calls. And I think most people will probably think the attack has most of the information, but it's a whole new defensive system structure. And for your position on that edge, on that wing, it can be really quite a challenge. So have you found it really challenging to adapt to a new system, or is it just take it in your stride and ask the senior players around about you and the experienced players around about you to help each other out?
Yeah, it's been different, especially from Edinburgh. We've got a different D setup and a defensive setup from Scotland, so it's kind of just plugging along, kind of really focusing in and buying into it. Kind of me and Duhan, he's been in, so kind of we've been working quite close together, sitting down and going through the stuff like clips wise and kind of helping each other along, because it is a bit different from like say training in Edinburgh and playing for Edinburgh.
How did you find the kind of coming back in and finishing off the season with Edinburgh? You obviously got back to playing, like we said, post-lockdown. How was that coming back in?
Yeah, it was just nice to get back playing. It was first 4 weeks was strange because it was only groups of four and we were spread out over the pitch, social distance running. We had like 20 metres of the pitch each. So it was quite tough kind of getting yourself up for that session, just four years. But as the weeks went on and we all kind of started getting in together, training definitely helped. It's just so much better. It's nice seeing all the boys again and getting back out on that pitch was real fun.
When you think back to that period, does it seem like a different lifetime, or does it seem still quite recent now that you're back training with a squad of 30 or 35 in the field? Compare that to the four running up and down. It sounds like a different lifetime.
It does. It feels years ago since we were running on four us just in the back pitch at Murrayfield. goes forever.
You would still be racing across the four, though, would you?
We were still pushing each other on. We were in position, so it was me and Blair. So we were kind of wee competitions going and that. So you couldn't be last in the fitness.
Correct.
And you've got obviously Georgia coming up, but a busy period with Scotland as well. How are you feeling about kind of, I guess, all of these matches in this long period of time together as a squad? We said before, it's probably quite rare that you have such a long period kind of concentrated as a national team. So what are the kind of vibes in camp around having that opportunity and the games coming up as well?
Oh, there's a lot of international games coming up, and it's quite exciting how long we get to spend with each other. And especially because like we never really get to do it, like you said, apart from the World Cup, that was kind of a long block there. So it's kind of got that kind of same similar vibe here. Kind of length of time we're going to be together, and especially like we're not allowed to leave the hotel on our days off and that, in a bubble here. So it's going to be pretty intense on top of each other and that. So, but no, it's very exciting how much rugby we're going to have.
And it kicks off Friday night, Georgia. Now, you played in both the games last year, didn't you, I think, in the lead-up to World Cup against Georgia. Did you scored in both as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
I think I remember that. I certainly remember that. I remember the finish in the home game here at BT Murrayfield, a brilliant finish in that left corner. So some good form. What do you expect from Georgia? You played in both those games. There's obviously, there'll be a change in personnel from that squad as there is in our squad. But what do you expect from them before we look at kind of what we can bring?
Kind of Georgia are always quite the same. Like they'll bring that physicality. They're massive boys and they'll run hard. So kind of we have to be ready defensively kind of for these big boys coming running down our channel. They're very passionate. They play for their country and they're a very passionate team. So kind of we just kind of have to match them physically.
And is it more, because there hasn't been a lot of games recently, is it more just get what Scotland needs to get right, focus on yourself, make sure the details there, hit the ground running, you know, create that energy that you're talking about. So in many ways, in a build-up in international, you do so much analysis of the opposition. But in this circumstance, it's probably more about Scotland being on the money, being accurate and starting well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think especially the first game, it's kind of just all eyes on us, kind of put a bit of pressure on us to get everything right. We've got a big game to finish off the Six Nations a week later against Wales. So that's kind of a massive one. So it's kind of just all about us, go out, play our game and get everything right on the day.
So you mentioned them earlier on, Darcy, and the kind of two strike men, the Edinburgh Rugby strike men yourself, and your wing partner, Duhan van der Merwe, comes in for his first cap for Scotland. You know him well. You work so well together on the field. But you'll be delighted to share the international pitch with him as well. He really deserves this opportunity.
Nah, definitely. Duhan's been in great form the last two seasons. His stats are ridiculous. Every game he's flying. He's been on form for a long time. So it's very exciting to see him get his first start on the wing, and he definitely deserves it. Full Edinburgh back three with me, Blair and Duhan. So it is exciting, especially for the Edinburgh fans. It's quite exciting.
And a lot of continuity there as well. And James Lang comes in at 12, who is a good ball player, good distributor. And that's excellent when there's so much potency out wide. And as you say, that back three, another distributor who can break, who can play the game as well. But in order to feed you guys, that's exactly what you want, isn't it, inside you?
Yeah, definitely. Kind of, we want the ball players inside us get that ball out wide and give us the opportunity to get attacking rugby. So having him there is great. And we know if we give him the ball, he can crash it up and make line breaks. So it's kind of it's really, really good to have a solid ball carrier there as well. It's exciting. And it's an exciting back line. I can't wait to get out there on Friday night and get going.
So brilliant to be joined by Darcy Graham. All the best on Friday night, Darcy, to you and the rest of the players. Obviously, I think all the supporters who are able to watch the game and tune in on the game on ITV4 will be desperate to see the country being represented with a lot of pride and passion from you guys and something you always bring. So good luck on Friday night. We're looking forward to it.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Good luck.
So, Rach, always good to talk to Darcy, and I suppose it's just raw kind of power, raw speed, raw emotion, just raw Scottishness, if even that's a phrase, when he plays. It's brilliant to see him play, and you can see the excitement that he has for it. So to see him on one wing and Duhan van der Merwe on the other, we just hope they're supplied with a bit of possession on Friday night.
Yeah, like you say, like we've talked about him quite a bit when we've been chatting through the Edinburgh games, and he's always electric, he's always looking for work, and when you get the ball in his hands, he does something pretty spectacular, and same for Duhan. So you know, we know Georgia are going to be a big physical team, and hopefully, you know, it doesn't just stay up front and we can get the ball out to them, because that is a very exciting back three that they've got there for the weekend.
Yeah, that's the thing with Georgia. I mean, Darcy, you said it, and you could say every team you play against is physical, and they are. Rugby is physical, yeah. But you do get teams that kind of focus on the physicality more than others. Now, that doesn't mean they're any better. It just means that there's psychology around it, maybe slightly different. Rather than attacking space, they just want to bludgeon you, really. And Georgia are a team like that. I say, I remember the World Cup game against Australia last year where they were kind of 17-8 down after 75 minutes. Eventually lost the game, I think 27-8 to Australia. But I remember just watching the game, being at the game, interviewing Michael Cech afterwards, and I said, listen, how big a challenge is that? And he said, that's one of the most physical games his players have played, in terms of, it's a wet day, so they couldn't shift the target, or they didn't want to shift the target as much as they should have done, really. But they're not a team you break down easily. You have to play at a tempo, and it's good to hear Darcy talking, you know, about that. Once you get in behind, keep the tempo high, and your skill level has to stay up there as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's going to be one of those where you've got to be patient. You know, sometimes it's easy to get frustrated when you go up against a team like that who you probably would be favourites against, but you've got to be patient and recognise that it's the type of team you are going to have to wear down. And we touched on it a little bit, but fitness is probably going to prevail in that last quarter of the game. And hopefully that's when we'll start to see them break them down. And like we said before, you're probably going to have to see something pretty spectacular to break down a defence like that and such physical play. So hopefully the weather holds out as well and we get a nice sunny Scottish day.
a sunny night,
yeah. So we can get the ball shipped around, but I don't think the forecast is looking too promising. No. So we'll see what happens.
Another kind of interesting facet, or one of you kind of expert areas of expertise, is the back row as well. And you talk about that speed and that aggressive power, and you've got that in abundance with Hamish, yeah. Jamie Ritchie and Matt Fagerson. So all really good ball carriers, but not maybe in the traditional sense that they're just going to go straight up. They've got the footwork, they've got the offload, they've got that ability to beat, you know, a defender in a small space. That'll become really important as well, I think.
Yeah, and like you say, like when you're wearing a team down and you've got speed all over the park and players who can evade and get through those gaps, it's super important. But that back row for me is really exciting, and I'm excited to see that combination in particular, because I think you've got, you know, you've got Hamish, who is the smaller back row but breakdown specialist. When he gets in a little bit of space, and is so effective at eliminating players, and then you've got, and obviously at eight, Matt's gonna carry pretty hard, and he's absolutely brutal in defense, and then you've got a bit of a combination then and Jamie as well. So I think, you know, the combination of the three is going to be super exciting to watch, and a super fit, fast back row. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm excited about that for sure.
And forwards heavy split on the bench. We've got six forwards and two backs on the bench. That's probably a nod to that, I suppose, the rate of attrition that we expect from Georgia, and the ability for our players just to completely empty themselves to lay that platform.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, as a forward, when you know that that's the situation, it does give you probably a little bit more free rein to just go absolutely, you know, everything out, finish yourself off as best you can. And you've got a great, very strong bench there in terms of forwards to come on and finish the job. And that could make the difference. You know, like we said, that last 20 minutes when we have broken them down from a fatigue point of view, those finishers coming on could really have a massive impact on the outcome of the game. And like you say, the fact that we have split it 6-2 does probably suggest what they are expecting from Georgia in terms of physicality. But it's also a really cool opportunity to see so many, you know, players get that opportunity to play international rugby as well at this point in a very kind of long period, which will be a number of games. So I think as well, probably thinking getting a bit of game time into players like that early doors, so that they've had that opportunity and kind of going forward. If they come in again, etc., they've had that opportunity and that run in their legs.
That 6-2 split used to be a kind of one-off thing. You never used to see it very often. It would be specifically tailored. But now, if you think about big games over the last year, England have done it consistently. South Africa did it in the World Cup final. They do it all often. It's maybe a nod to the how attritional the game is becoming for forwards, or is it a nod to the fact that backs are just better at playing multi-position?
I was going to say, I think it's probably a little bit of both. Like, I think, you know, we mentioned there kind of all what might happen if we need cover here, there and everywhere. Like, it is probably showing how the game's starting to change, and backs are becoming very versatile, and you're seeing them play across multiple positions like that. And again, it's super important when you've got a long campaign that you have got players who've, you know, maybe had a run out of position, because you never know what's going to happen a few games down the line. So yeah, it's super interesting, and interesting to see the way the game's kind of moving towards that more kind of, I guess, expectation of physical games all the time. But yeah, it'll be an interesting match for sure.
Absolutely. And Ollie Kebble could make his debut off the bench, and Finn Russell's back. Finn on the bench, if he comes on, it would be his 50th cap for Scotland. So I'm sure we'll see a couple of milestones as well on Friday evening. We wish everybody well. Did you see the game at the weekend, the Champions Cup final?
I did, yeah. So we were in camp at the weekend, but we caught the majority of the game once we finished training. And some game, it was, you know, we were watching it and just the noises that were being made by the hits, like the defence, particularly from Rassing, I thought was unbelievable at times. You know, there was a period of play in the second half where there was just, I don't know how many phases of rugby, and they were, Exeter were just getting absolutely nowhere. And it was, you know, phase after phase of physicality, like, you know, we just talked about it for the Georgia game, but the physicality in that game was unbelievable, and obviously a really exciting end, and Exeter came away, but I thought it was a fantastic display of rugby.
Yeah, it's funny because most teams Exeter have faced have came out of those exchanges on top. But I know exactly what you mean. I think it was 23, 24 phases. And it was a crucial moment in the game where actually the game, the both teams are still wrestling for momentum, wrestling for control of the game. There might only have been a point in it or 4 points in it, however it was at that point in the game. But it was like, wow, Racing, albeit having a poor start, are really, really kind of wrestling the game back here. And it comes back to the, I know we didn't really touch on it much the week before with the Australia-New Zealand game, but the drop goal that potentially could have won that for both sides in that fixture. It comes back to that. There was an opportunity for Racing, I think, to go for the drop goal.
Yeah.
But the probability or the try was quite high as well in terms of number of phases, so close to the line, down to 14 men. So it's a difficult one. But I think, I don't know, what would you have done? Would you have had a chip over a drop goal, or would you have kept it going?
Me personally, yeah, I'd have gone for the drop goal.
Nailed it.
Oh, no, I'm not sure. You know what? That's probably something that you guys as backs and kicking specialists have a much better concept of in terms of that. So it's hard to say.
It always depends as well, I think, on how long's left in the game.
Yeah.
And if it's final play, last minute, like the New Zealand-Australia one, you're like, it has to be a higher priority. When there's 6-7 minutes left and it would only put you 2 points ahead or whatever it was, that then allows the team who've maybe conceded a drop goal to kick off, get back into your half, and there's still a period of game to play out. I think that comes into it. I think it has to be in the psyche of the players as an option. And sometimes I don't think it's in the psyche as often as it used to be, or it's not as trendy to be in the psyche as players. But I do think that New Zealand Australia won in red time.
It has to be
an option, and I don't really think it was. Whereas last week, I hope it was an option for the players involved. But you can understand that nervousness towards it when you're so close to the line, you're in the right area of the field, you've just won you've just had the opposition put down to 40 men with a yellow card and a multiple number of penalties. So it's we'll never know, but it's always in there. There's 3 points available if the drop goal's kicked as well. But great to see Finn back. I thought, you know, some of his play was outstanding, and his creation and attack, one or two mistakes, but that's the way he plays. And if you know, he'll have to fight his way back in. He's starting the bench. He'll have to fight his way back into the starting 15 from the bench. Adam Hastings continuing his good run of form for Scotland through the Six Nations. So it's great to have that depth there.
Yeah, definitely. And like you say, like the way Finn plays is very kind of risk and reward, and it's a very fine balance. But I thought he played really well. And it is going to be exciting to see him get back into a Scotland shirt after so long away, and hopefully pick up his 50th cap as well, as we mentioned. I think it was last week we talked about that. So yeah, exciting squad, and excited to see Scotland run out for the first time in a fair wee while. So yeah, looking forward to it.
And the game's obviously Friday night. Your game's Sunday, so you'll be able to watch the game. You won't be team running it on Saturday afternoon, if you know where the game.
Yeah.
You know. Sometimes is. So you'll get a chance to watch it as a squad, will you? Or will we be socially distanced?
I think there's probably going to be, I don't know how they'll run it. I think we might have some in a team room and some in another room and whatever else, and maybe some in their bedrooms. But we'll definitely be social distance and masks on, that's for sure. But I'm absolutely buzzing that we're going to get the opportunity to see the boys play, because like you say, we usually clash in some way and catch the tail end of their games. So yeah, after so long, you know, not having watched Scotland play, it's cool to have both the women and the men playing this weekend, and also getting the opportunity to support them as well.
And how's your preparations going for the French game on Sunday?
It's good. It's really good. We've been in camp Saturday, Sunday. Really tough camp, as it always is. It's kind of the last training camp prior to your match camps. Got another bit of an internal hit out as well. Obviously, the Scottish-based girls haven't had any actual competitive rugby yet, so it's been quite important in these two camps that we get that in, and they get that exposure, which has been really good. So yeah, real tough camp, but real big strides forward, particularly from a defensive point of view, that Tyrone is leading with us this season. We, you know, watching the footage back from training, it's really felt like we stepped up and things really started to click. So I'm excited to see. Obviously, we know France are going to be a very physical side as well, similar to Georgia. That's kind of one of these teams in the women's game that they pride themselves on their physicality, as well as, don't get me wrong, they have very exciting backs as well. But in terms of up front, they are one of the physical teams that we come up against. So I'm really excited to see how we can go up against them from a defensive point of view in particular, and hopefully, you know, get that ball back and give our backs a chance to play.
And it's Sunday afternoon at Scotton. Obviously, three internationals, only three internationals all year, really. Started with that fantastic victory over in Spain, and then lost the opening two Six Nations game before that. Ours were cancelled. Losses against England at home, and a kind of narrow defeat away at Ireland, wasn't it, 18-14? But this, I suppose, with the time you've had together in the camps and a fresh start for everybody the world over, really, in many ways, and that excitement and few changes, we hope for a positive start to the, I suppose, it's not a new campaign, it's an existing campaign on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we're very much similar to what Darcy said, you know, we're very much focusing on us. It's all about getting back out there, getting back up to speed, getting back used to kind of playing in these combinations and with these girls, and got a few kind of changes in terms of squad members and stuff like that. So it's super exciting to see some people getting back into the squad and opportunities here, there and everywhere. So it's going to be, you know, one of those, it's going to be kind of see what we come up against and adapt as we go. But I think the most important thing is we're back playing rugby, and now we can start to really build towards, again, those World Cup qualifiers that is our kind of end goal for this season, or the new season, or whatever we're calling it. So yeah, the girls are really up for it, which is really cool to see, and yeah, hopefully it'll be a good game.
And obviously no spectators behind closed doors, but it is live on BBC Alba, so the fans can tune in and kind of document the progress and cheer you on from the own sofas.
Yeah, no fans, but we've actually had, I think we were the first to be exposed to that due to storms back in February. So yeah, we had England that game. England, yes, which was strange, but I guess what gave us a bit of experience going forward into this whole situation. But yeah, BBC Alba are streaming the game, which is brilliant, just to get, you know, us back out there in terms of hopefully get a bit of support from the home base fans as well.
Good. And other rugby this weekend, it's the Guinness Pro 14's back as well. So
yes.
Glasgow are away to Ospreys on Saturday, which was a tough game down in Wales. Both teams won from two in the opening rounds, but obviously both teams will have international players missing. But as we said last week, it's a brilliant opportunity for a lot of new players or young players or players who've maybe fallen out the international arena to basically strut their stuff and play well for the pro team. So tough to go away from home anywhere. And we saw the Ospreys week one appear, defeat Edinburgh, but after beating the Scarlets, Glasgow, hopefully go down there with a bit of confidence with a strong team and get that second win of the season down at Liberty Stadium.
Yeah, I really hope they do go out and put a really good performance in, because like you say, it's a really interesting time when the internationals go away, particularly with the setup at the moment where, you know, the guys are in a very strict bubble. So it won't be the case where we might regain some players. It's going to be those guys that are back at the clubs, kind of leading the way and taking those opportunities. So I think it would be a big confidence booster in terms of the depth of the squad and those players getting through and having that opportunity if they go out and put a good performance in. But it's going to be a tough ask, like you say, with having seen kind of how the Ospreys are performing as well in their first couple of rounds. So yeah, hopefully good performance as well for Glasgow.
Yeah, a kind of similar outlook, I think, from the Scarlets games. What's needed, you know, just don't give too much away. You know, I mean, it's especially away from home, pick up what you can. Glasgow, whoever plays, will always score points. And the focus is stay in the game, don't give anything away through mistakes. And I think the squad are getting used to doing that. Certainly did against a really dangerous Scarlets side. So that's half five on Saturday. And then Edinburgh are at home back at BT Murrayfield on Sunday evening, 7:35 against Connacht. So again, we saw Connacht get that first win over Glasgow in week one, and they lost against Cardiff in week two. So we're aware of Connacht's threats. But this is a game, like we said, well, you said about Scotland women and Darcy said about the national team, this is about Edinburgh focusing on Edinburgh and getting back to winning ways after a disappointing run of late. There will be a danger to how Connacht play. They do threaten. Traditionally, they don't lose as many players as other teams, so they're quite settled. But this has to be Edinburgh about being Edinburgh you know, getting the basics right and hopefully getting back to winning ways.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's probably just what they need. And then it will kind of turn that around for them a little bit, because they were playing some brilliant rugby and they've been unfortunate in the first couple of rounds. So hopefully, you know, whatever the team is which takes the field, they go out and put in a good performance for Edinburgh and they can start moving forwards again.
I'm sure they will. They're pretty close over in Munster. Discipline will have to improve, but I think they'll be well prepared and ready to get back to winning ways on home soil. And interestingly, great news about a gig for BT Murrayfield in some ways. The British and Irish Lions are coming. They're playing at the famous home of Scottish rugby, the famous Turf. They play Japan on the 26th of June before they embark on the tour to South Africa. That's a brilliant opportunity. If all going well, you're able to be along in person and the sides. But that'd be a brilliant piece of rugby history to be part of and to go along and watch.
Yeah, like you say, an incredible bit of rugby history, but probably also an absolutely amazing rugby match as well between two really exciting sides. You know, we saw it from Japan in the World Cup, what they can produce. So it'd be pretty cool spectacle and a pretty cool piece of history as well to go and be a part of. So fingers crossed things start to move forward. There is association with the Nevis membership as well in terms of having opportunity for first dibs on tickets. So it should be a real good opportunity for our fans as well to get down there and experience it.
It just seems like there's going to be so much water to flow under the bridge between now and then. But it wouldn't it be great if we got back up to some form of spectator access. You can get through Six Nations with, you know, maybe building up towards that, and then by June we could get some raw excitement and raw entertainment. But you're right, Japan will play quickly. Interesting, it's maybe not the best preparation or like for like than you'll maybe the Lions would experience in South Africa, but the intensity, the physicality they'll bring, the speed, I think is exactly what you want to be tested at before you go and play arguably a more physical test against South Africa. But great opportunity for players to put their hands up starting this Friday, international players, and great opportunity hopefully for some of us fans to get along and watch in June. All right, Rachel, thanks again for your time. Just the two of us this week. Test week, everybody's pretty busy. Jamie is unavailable. Al will be in meeting somewhere, although he was desperate to join us. But good luck, firstly, to you on Sunday with Scotland Women. Take on France at Scotland. And good luck to the national team, obviously, who get the international season underway on Friday evening against Georgia at BT Murrayfield. That game can be seen on ITV4. And your game, Rich, is on BBC Albert on Sunday afternoon. So we look forward to watching the games and look forward to digesting the games next week when we're back online. So thanks, everyone, for listening.
Support Scotland this season as one. Scottish Rugby has introduced a new membership for fans at home and abroad to back the sport in Scotland during the COVID-19 pandemic. Sign up for Scotland now at scottishrugby.org.